welcome to episode 5 of Giant Steps. My guest today is Sondre Lerche. Sondre is an LA-based Norwegian singer, songwriter, composer, and artist.
Well, I'm Sondre Lerche. I just turned 38. I reside in Los Angeles. I've lived in America for 15 years, and the last 6 months I have returned to my home country, Norway. I'm a musician. I write songs and I record them and perform them and tour and make records, and I've done that since I was a teenager. It's what I'm very privileged. I get to do what I want to do and share it with the world, and then in secret I've been running for the last 5 years. Not so secret anymore, I guess.
Sondre's debut album, Faces Down, was one of Rolling Stone magazine's best albums of 2002. His 9th studio album, Patience, was released in June 2020. This was such a great conversation, and I was so personally inspired by what we talked about. Among many things, we talked about speed and strength, creating a personal emotional space with running, and the overarching idea that we never really stop growing, changing, and adding aspects to ourselves. We may call ourselves writers, musicians, painters, or directors, but is that where it really ends? Why do we feel the need to define ourselves in such small terms? I think it's one of the most exciting parts of becoming a runner. As runners, we continually challenge ourselves to break self-imposed boundaries, whether it's distance, speed, or even just consistency. When we finish a 5K, 10K, half or full marathon, we realize in a tangible physical way that we're capable of far more than we ever thought. What happens when we apply this idea to the rest of our lives? When did you start running and why?
Okay, it's very connected with music because I had done this record, I recorded a record called Please, and it was a more sort of explosive and sort of groovy, energetic record, and I knew when I was going to do live shows with it, I wanted to be able to move around on stage and be more flamboyant. Mm. So I was looking to sort of challenge myself in figuring out a sort of physical language on stage when I did not have a guitar. You know, what do I do with my hands? You know, yeah, stuff like that. You know, how Freddie Mercury can I get? You know, basically. And I performed at the equivalent of the Norwegian Grammys, because the record had been nominated to a bunch of awards, and we were closing out the show with a performance that was sort of the live version of the music video to this song called Bad Law. And the concept is basically that I walk into the crowd and I appear to be maybe drunk or stoned or something, and then start just wrecking things, and while the band is playing, I'm just, you know, I'm running around dancing like a maniac, and there's confetti, and I'm ruining the instruments, and I'm hitting the speakers, and, you know, creating a chaos.
And singing all the way?
While singing.
Right.
It was terrifying because I realized I was not in shape enough to sing, even for 3 minutes, for the duration of the performance. I was walking around, and I had never been physical like that on stage. I was embarrassed because when I heard it, I could just hear, just 50 seconds in, I could just hear myself being short of breath,
yeah,
completely.
Yeah.
And then the song lasts for 3 minutes. Then after that, we were supposed to plan all these bigger shows where I was going to do basically that, but for 60 minutes.
Right.
And I realized, oh, if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to survive that, I'm going to have to start exercising, because I have to be able to sing better. And while I'm moving, I have to be, you know, I'll never be Beyonce, but I'm going to have to Beyonce myself,
right,
you know. And I had 8 months to prepare. And so I started running. It seemed like the most likely thing. I had no ambition athletically, and I sort of owned that sort of like anti-jock vibe, you know?
Because
I had music, and that was my safe space, and that's where I went to. And so finding this affinity for running so, you know, relatively late in life was sort of a huge surprise to
me.
It's amazing. Yeah.
I was sure, just because I've been Strava stalking you, that you had been, you'd grown up running. I mean, you run super fast.
No.
You're like under, I mean, what's your marathon time?
It's 3:02:22.
That's super fast.
Just a quick footnote here. Since this interview, Sondra has run a new marathon PR of 2 hours, 55 minutes.
I think I like to be fast. So yeah. I have trouble. Sometimes in my training, it would be better if I ran
slower.
Slower. But once I go, I definitely have days when I'm not feeling fast and I'm not being fast. And sometimes you don't feel fast, but you were fast. But I don't look at the time that much when I'm running,
right?
Except if I'm doing intervals and it's like a specific thing. But I just, once I go, I just really like going as fast as I can. And it's probably more of a problem in a way, because it's not the smart way to train, you know, to always just go, you know.
Are you doing strength training and stuff too?
See, this is my weakness. I hate it too.
I hate it.
Oh man, and I don't do any of it now. And it's something I used to do when I was in LA. I got really good at doing it because I could do it on my patio outside my bungalow, and it just sort of like it was nice. I was able to do it, you know, under an orange tree in my little, you know, Californian romantic bubble. But since I went back to Norway, you know, I came back here in the thick of winter. That was the thing that I've been having a hard time motivating. I just want to run, and even that is hard enough sometimes when it's ice and snow. You know?
I do it in the middle of a run.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. I've been trying to do twice a week. I'll do a 6 mile run or something, and then 3 miles in, I'll stop in a park and do a whole bunch of squats and lunges and maybe some push ups and pull ups if I can.
Yeah.
And then finish and then do another 3 miles. It's the only way, like, it's the only way I can do it. Cause once I'm running,
that's
like,
smart.
Okay, I'm out here now. I can do it. Mm. I can handle it. I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're in it. Yeah, you're in it.
Maybe it's a good way to get back in.
Yeah, I should try that because at some point, there's obviously some strength you're missing,
well,
you know, because you're only exercising the same old runner's muscles.
I mean, I notice the difference when I don't do it. I notice my legs hurt more off. Like I get sore quicker and you know, while I'm running. So I try, but it really is. It's like the worst. I mean, especially for us that we're not workout people necessarily. We just got into this thing.
No, not at all. We got sidetracked.
And now you want me to do like jock stuff? I don't get that.
Oh yeah, that's not my thing. You see, that's not part of my brand. It's not part of my brand.
Exactly.
And I remember even trying, because my doctor, I had some back trouble, you know, from touring and lifting gear and all that stuff and not taking care of myself, you know, maybe in my late 30s. And I remember, like, my doctor said, you have to start doing something physical that doesn't happen on stage. You know, you have to work these other muscles in your body. And even that, at that point, I wasn't ready for it. And I didn't have the motivation. I needed this motivation that came from music. I tried many times to, like, find a way of getting into it. And it was only when I had like a goal where it's like, I have to achieve this with my body in order to perform as well as I want in music. I also feel it feels like you're creating something in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I get the same rush I get when I make something, when I make a song, I create something, even when I'm training.
Yeah.
For me, that Strava actually helps because that helps me like document the thing I made, and that was the run. And to, you know, obviously it's just an experience that I create for myself, but it feels like I'm making something. There was nothing, and then I made this experience.
So for years I ran. I mean, I haven't been running that long either. I started maybe,
right.
Probably like around the same time as you, maybe a few years earlier with shorter distances.
Yeah.
Just for like mental health, basically.
Yeah. Well, exactly. That's a big thing also.
Yeah.
Really. Huge.
But I had, you know, for me it became this kind of wonderful like respite from music in a way. And
yeah.
I was fearful of running because of how I am. You know, with music, with everything in my life, I get pretty granular about things, and so I was fearful that if I started running races and kind of keeping track of all this mileage and all this stuff I'm doing, it would change for me into something else.
It is interesting also to investigate that and to sort of I think to recognize in yourself what is it that drives you. And, you know, I think on some days it's just the pure joy of it. Some days I have to motivate, you know, and especially now that I'm here in Norway.
What, are you a morning runner?
I think I've become more of a midday runner. I think I used to be a morning runner more. In New York, I used to be a morning runner. But now I tend to... I wake up, I have breakfast, and I usually do like more sort of office related stuff. You know, I run my own label, and I've got my sort of little business to take care of. So I usually do that, and then I run.
Yeah.
And then when I come back, is when I have sort of the rest of the afternoon and the evening to be creative and make music. Or to be social, of course, if I want to. But usually I feel like I divide the day in two, and at the center is the running. That's the thing, you know.
You mentioned you've been touring a little bit. I'm curious, do you ever feel like you're running in your performance, or even writing, like creative stuff, do they ever butt against each other? Like, do you ever feel like you're training too much and you're getting too tired to perform well?
Yeah, I always feel I get energy from exercising. Yeah. So when I was, you know, this summer, obviously because of the circumstances, I was just scaling down everything. All my shows, you know, at festivals and stuff were canceled. And I decided to just travel around in a, you know, rental car just alone and play these small shows that were sort of allowed in Norway. And I got pretty good at, like, you know, you get to this little venue and you do a sound check. And even if you just have like an hour before you have to be on stage, you know, you have to be showered and ready, I would just run 30 minutes and then come back, shower, and then quickly get out. And I found that it was sort of possible to do that. I felt I gained more energy than I lost, in a way, you know, from the run. And I felt better, and I felt some nights I'd do two shows in one night to sort of accommodate, you know, the audience, because you could only have up to 200 people and, you know, all these limitations. And so I found actually it was really helpful. And to also get the runs I wanted, but I got really frustrated when I didn't, when there wasn't time. If I was stuck in the car all day, and then you feel sort of you feel depleted in a different way when you've been sitting in the car all day driving. Then you get to the sound check, you know, you have a show. You really it takes some really, really hardcore motivation then to also get that run in, even though you know you're going to feel better and it's probably going to provide you with energy rather than subtract it. But it's been hard to find the right balance this summer. Yeah.
But I mean, like, if you wouldn't like go do a 13 mile run the day you have a show, or maybe you would.
I probably have. Yeah. I probably Yeah, I you know what? I actually don't think about that because
Okay, great. Yeah, yeah.
I feel usually it's the day after I feel it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, okay.
So I can do the show that night, but probably the next day I'm going to
double win.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And actually my buddy, my trainer, he did say like, well, say if you're playing maybe 7 shows a week and you're also doing 5 or 6, different runs, like the sum of that exhaustion is, you know, it is going to catch up with you. So you have to think about the sum
I think that's what I sometimes kind of struggle with in my own life.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not performing, but I do a lot of different things like music, business, shit all day.
Yeah, right.
I burn out and then
exactly.
And the running sometimes adds, I think sometimes it actually tempers that, it makes it better, but
yeah.
I think sometimes I really push my running and then it can compound with that sense of kind of exhaustion. And I'm not sure when that's going to happen, you know, it's hard to gauge.
No, and you don't want it to just be this chore that you've just decided you have to do, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, you know you have to be disciplined if you want to achieve the kind of run you want, or, you know, I get really goal-based. Like, now I know, okay, I'm training for the marathon. I want to run faster than 3 hours. And to me, you know, having devoted my life to music, which is always a subjective form, it's always abstract in a sense.
Yeah.
It's something really refreshing about running to me, because you're either this fast or you're that fast. And,
yeah.
You know, you can either do it, you know, it's something completely concrete and that's sort of refreshing, but it also makes me a little crazy, I think, because suddenly I have this completely clear goal.
Yeah.
Whereas when I make music, I'm really only trying to please myself,
because
when I make music, I don't give a fuck about anyone else's opinion but my own. I just want to feel excited and alive, and I want to make something I'm proud of and that I recognize, you know, and that's the only thing that matters. But with a run, I get, for the first time in my life, I get hooked on these very, very easily, these really concrete goals, you know, that it's this time or it's that, and I notice that I do get a little crazy from it, probably.
No, I can totally see that. It's funny, it's almost like music, there are no real goals, like it's a journey. And I mean, running can be the same way too in certain ways, but maybe for us it's that juxtaposition of how you think about it that makes running so attractive and makes it this kind of complementary activity to what we do. Do you ever find that you work out music-related issues or lyrics, whatever, while you're running?
Just today. I do a lot of editing in my head, a lyric editing usually.
Yeah, interesting.
I will maybe sit and work on something before I go running, or I'll think of the thing that I'm going to work on.
Yeah.
And I'll sort of, you know, sometimes it's musical ideas, but it's usually just editing something that already is there. It just needs to be refined. And so just today I was having a run, and it was, you know what, it was sort of a bad run today. I'd rested for 2 days and I thought I was going to feel a lot better. And things just felt really, I felt heavy and I felt strange, and I wasn't even pushing it. So it was one of those runs. Tomorrow I'm going to have a long run and I better not feel that way. But, but I got to do a lot of editing, and there was one sentence in a song that I wrote, yesterday. The one sort of lyrical through line that I repeat, I guess it's sort of a hook, but the song doesn't have like, a chorus, verse chorus shape. It's more of a storytelling song, but it has this one line that it was going to come back to, but I hadn't found the line until right before I went on the run. I lined it. I had the melody in my head, so I knew how many syllables and
right.
You know, how I wanted to really, I'm really particular about that. I want things to flow and fall into place perfectly with the melody and with the movement and the vowels and the consonants and all that. So I would just meditate on getting that sentence right for 40 minutes. And so it's really helpful to zoom in on the editing process, I find.
We touched briefly on, like, you know, mental health and running, and you seem to relate.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. I think it's no coincidence that I slowly started running or getting into running or finding use of running in the time after I got divorced.
Yeah,
and it took me some time, and I, you know, also. And I think, you know, there's probably many reasons for that. But obviously one of them, I think, is, you know, the emotional and mental, you need this sort of, you need to create a new room for yourself for reflection and for investigation in your own, I don't know, mental health, emotional state, you know, all these things that overlap. And yeah, I found that to be, suddenly I was just drawn to it, and then that coincided with the you know, it also improving what I can do as a performer and as a musician, and then it's like, well, then they're only positive, they're only positives, you know. It's huge, and I think now, you know, I've been running. Of course, more and more sort of determined, you know, with more and more focus, I still find that it has, in periods where I go through, I don't know, you know, you go through periods where you're just pondering things and you feel insecure about certain things, or you're at a crossroads. You know, I just went through a breakup like half a year ago, and obviously at that point also, like, there's so many thought processes that I feel are given sort of a much, much more constructive and sort of healing stage when you have running, you know?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Would you, like, before running, did you have unhealthy ways of dealing with that kind of stuff? Were you a drinker, or you didn't, like, not really, or you just kind of bottled it up?
Probably more bottle it up, you know. I would maybe become, I would become more quiet. I definitely, I think I would just fail to find a language for it, you know. And I guess maybe running is becoming more open to sort of facing yourself and wanting to understand yourself and sort of laying that all out there, rather than trying to cover it up, you know, which, you know, I'm sure we've all done, and then realized, oh, that doesn't work. So I think, like, running just has helped facilitate a certain kind of reflection, you know. It's an ongoing thing, of course, you know, but I definitely relate to what you say about, like, it just helping you, process what you're going through,
like,
in a more healthy way.
Yeah, I like what you said about, like, it being this place that you can go, like, an emotional space.
Exactly.
That
is
just your own place, and, you know, I think it's something that we kind of forget that we don't have, especially with social media and, you know, like, constant barrage of information and connection to people, you know? It's almost like we're losing that sense of individuality in a weird way.
It's so important to me that I have this one thing that I do almost every day, and I don't look at my phone, and I don't, you know, I don't answer the phone. You know, like, it's, you're unavailable. You know, I love that I have at least one arena where that's just the natural thing to do. I'm sure I should have more of that,
so,
you know, because we're all so we're all so overwhelmed and we're all so hooked, you know, yeah. to all these things. Of course, we all feel that. But I at least I have one arena where that is reduced to. It's not, there's no interference of that sort.
Yeah, that's great. You mentioned, I feel like when I first wrote you an email, you mentioned that Patience was written, a lot of it was written while running.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what does that mean? And how has running in general affected your music? I mean, you said the physicality of the performance is obviously, but do you think it's changed the mood, the scope?
I think there's always that component as well. I think, you know, Patience, the album is sort of, it's been this record that I've made over the last 7 years, and it overlaps with the two records that came before it that were also made in that same time period. And one is Please and the other is Pleasure,
right.
which is the more flamboyant, boisterous, groovy one. And then Patience, to me, it was just the sort of the natural come down in a way. It's much more sort of directly influenced by a lot of the music I listen to while running and a lot of the musical discoveries I've done while running, where I have enjoyed being a tourist in music that I can't immediately map out and comprehend. And I think that's something I've been going. That's given me a sense of adventure, but also serenity. And that's why I called the album Patience, because I call all this music that I listen to while running, I called it patient music.
Right.
Because it's sort of music where there's wide horizons and there's a lot of room for yourself. There's a lot of repetition and very minor changes in how this is music that has a lot of time on its hands, and that's something I've enjoyed, or that's the room I've enjoyed sort of creating for my running. But it's also something that rubbed off on the kind of music I wanted to make after making this very sort of frenetic, almost dance pop record with Pleasure. Patience just felt like the natural sort of contrast.
If I convert to you, will you revert to me? Our love could forge yourself, sustained reality. We'll tell our own damn time, gaslight each other's minds. Sweet confirmation bias time for you and I. This is the most outrageous gift that I could give to you. Surrendering to a lover's lies, insisting that they're true. Oh, is this the way our parents used to live? Let's do the so hard to do. I love you because it's true. If I reduce myself, you isolate yourself. Of everything I it's true.
Do you have like a scheduled out time where you write music? I mean, like you mentioned, you'll come back from the run and then you'll be creative. Is that pretty constant with you? Like you're writing songs constantly?
It's not like office hours in a sense, you know, but I do like to always have, I like to have a couple of songs going in different sort of, in different sort of parts of the process.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think, you know, since March, since I went home to Norway and I was sort of gearing up to release the record, which came out in June, you know, videos and singles and of course tours got canceled and all that. But I've been more connected with being, you know, the my own manager and my own label manager in a sense.
Right,
so
right, right.
I haven't been as productive creatively. So I go in and out of phases where I'm like, I'm focusing on this and I'm focusing on that. But I always have, and because I've been lucky to be able to perform a lot during this pandemic,
yeah.
You know, relatively, I've been able to, I did a show with like a small symphonic orchestra in Norway that we filmed, and I did, got to do a show in this old sort of Viking hall with some of my musicians. So I've gotten to be close to the music and to showcase the music that I made in many ways. And that sort of helped me even now on tour. When I was touring alone, I found after shows, I'd just go to the hotel alone and sit and write songs.
Yeah.
So I like to always have something going, always have this song that I'm chewing on and that I'm looking for. Usually I'm looking for the right words to sort of make me want to sing it and share it. And this week has been extra productive. I felt really, you know, I like to work even when I'm not feeling necessarily that inspired.
Yeah.
I tend to, you know, you can't wait for inspiration to hit. You have to just be on the lookout, and most of the work is work. And then some of it is inspiration and together, that makes for something hopefully. But I don't like to feel too far removed from the process at any given time. I like to write a lot of songs.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of being there when the inspiration hits rather than waiting for it.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I mean,
that's, yeah.
In a way, you know, I start almost every day. I try to start by sitting at the piano or the guitar or whatever without, you know, maybe I'm just working on another piece of, you know, somebody else's piece or practicing.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's not always fun to do that, but I have noticed that it's kind of like running in that, like you mentioned, you had a bad run this morning, but the next day you could be like, oh, I had a bad run yesterday. I'm not going to go out today. And you could miss that great run. You know what I mean?
Any moment you could miss it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like this song I've been writing this week, I sat a whole evening trying, you know, I started probably five different songs and I'm probably not going to return to those five. But right before I was giving up and going to bed, after doing this for hours and hours and having a nice time doing it, it's what I do. But then right before I was going to bed, I said, well, I'll sit down one more time. And something came, you know, something happened. And of course, now I'm in that sort of rush of like, it's the best thing I've ever done. But maybe it is, you know, because at least I got that feeling and I managed to follow up with the lyrics. And it's been occupying my mind 24/7 for the last 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's such a joy. It's such a joy.
Yeah.
And so I think about it when I run. I think about it when I do other stuff. And I constantly have to go back and sit down to, because I want to tweak that word. I want to fix that, or it needs something here. But I'm constantly in it. And, it, you know, when that happens, that, I guess, is inspiration. And then the rest is editing in a sense. But it's such a joy to get to there.
The way you came at running and the way you talk about it is so inspiring. Even for me, and I kind of started at the same point as you. I'm curious if you have any advice for people who are struggling, you know, like, you know, either with trying to find something, you know, like we're talking about that emotional space, or with running specifically, you know, like there are a lot of people like try and they just can't get it. And if do you have any kind of advice for people looking to find that?
Yeah. Well, I guess the boring advice is not to not give up, yeah. You know, because I tried to run for many years and it didn't stick, you know, I didn't find my way in. So maybe, you know, I was lazy or maybe I was just not in I didn't have the right motivation. So obviously it helped me that music became part of the motivation to better myself in what I do and what I take pride in. That helped. It helped maybe to, you know, go through a breakup or something painful, you know, yeah. All these things that we try to avoid are actually really helpful tools to better ourselves and to reflect on our own part in the world and in, you know, in the lives of the people we love or the people who find us or leave us or, you know, all these things. So I guess, you know, it helps if you can sort of embrace all that with love and thankfulness, you know,
yeah.
Be thankful. But I guess I will say this also, and this is something I think about a lot as an artist and a human being. And I think it's important, especially for younger people, to remember that you can have several lives in a way. You can have, I never thought my identity would ever be connected with that of a runner, yeah, you know? Yeah. It's so far-fetched. And I think I shied away from it because I felt awkward and even daring to think that could be, one side of me could be, oh, Sandra, yeah, no, he's a runner. I know he runs a lot. And of course, not based on merit, but just, oh yeah, you know, he has that hobby or he's, you know, to maybe even just like reclaiming and owning your body in a sense, yeah. You know, at that level. Obviously, I've always been the musician or whatever, you know, whatever role you play to a lot of different people who either know you this way or that way, but what, something I've come to appreciate a lot now is that I'm all these things and I will be more things,
yeah.
And there will be more parts. There will be sort of more, there will be more chapters where I get to, hopefully find new sides and explore new avenues of my personality. And I don't think anything good comes from limiting yourself to thinking, well, I'm this, I should only be this. And I think as a young person, I certainly limited myself. I thought, well, I'm only this, yeah. and I'm definitely not that. The way, you know, you think as a young person, you define yourself not always from who you are, but from what you think you are not. But if you if you grow up and you feel a little out of place, I think it's important to remember that this is not the only context and this is not the only person you'll be.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll have a core that you bring with you to all the different explorations and all the different identities.
Yeah.
But I think the one song that's hit me most this year, and I'm not even that big a, you know, I love Bob Dylan, but he's not one of my closest or biggest influences, but the song he wrote or put out this year called I Contain Multitudes,
I haven't heard it,
is a masterpiece. It's a fucking masterpiece, and it is so good because it says that it says I'm all these things,
yeah.
I contain multitudes. Obviously he's referencing all these, you know, all these great poets and all these musicians and he's assuming all these different characters. Obviously this is something we've seen him do throughout his career, so it's extra poignant in a way, but I think it's so beautiful because it articulates that whole thing. I'm Sandra. I'm a runner, I'm a musician, I'm, you know, if you got to know me, you'd see I'm all these things and I will be more.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Perfect way to end the podcast.
Yeah, right.
Sandra, thank you so much for joining me on this strange experimental podcast. Good luck out there and talk to you soon.
Yeah, stay in touch. All right.
See you, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Giant Steps is hosted by Sondra Uriens. Editing and sound design is by Matt Hannum. Original music is composed and performed by Sondra Uriens. Mixing and additional sound design is by Brent Kaiser at Unbridled Sound. If you're interested in Sondra, you can get his newest album, Patience, on a deluxe vinyl release at sondrelerche.com. That's SondreLerche.com. Giant Steps is independently produced in Los Angeles, California. For more information or to get in touch, you can visit us at our website, giantstepspodcast.com.